Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
And now the end is near, and so I reach the final place where you close some cloth in front of your window. Not breaking any copyright there, my friends. Welcome to the final one of these Retro As It Occurs to Me's. This is the end of series 3. We did do a few more a few years later. You can catch those on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. But this is it for now. Thank you very much for supporting this. We've used the extra advertising revenue that we've got to pay the cast for the work they did, which has been a nice thing to do for them, I think, as well. Become a badger at gofasterstripe.com/badgers if you want to give us some money. And do check out what I'm doing on Twitch, twitch.tv/RKHerring. You can subscribe if you're with Amazon Prime, no cost to yourself, but you can give us money. Why wouldn't you do that? Because I'm a maniac, Richard. Fair enough. Follow me on Twitter, Herring1967. You get lots of information about what's going on. Sad to see this go. It was a lot of fun, but it's gone. It's time to move on. Catch Rahel Estopa every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcast, which is here, isn't it? Let's face it. As it occurs to me, as it occurs to me, as it occurs to me. You were going,
why did we make that? Why did we make the beginning last? You really need to save some. This is a very long script. Welcome to the denouement of the show that all the futuristic more cocks and less vaginas, they've got two less vaginas than a regular female Morlock, are calling AI Ottima. Is right, it's the 28th and final episode of the Quarter Asked Internet Stand-Up and Sketch Show. That's right, this is your lot, and you should be satisfied with that. That is enough episodes to listen to one every single day of February, as long as it's not a leap year. But if it is a leap year, then on the 29th you can watch a video of me in a bath full of flour. I think once every 4 years should be enough to get that nicely burnt into your retina. So, thanks to all the 3,000 people who viewed that video on YouTube. Hopefully you listened to the podcast as well, otherwise it's become something different. It is sad. It has 26 likes and amazingly only one dislike. I thought it would be the other way around. My favourite comment on it comes from a knee-jerk hate machine who simply says,
Stuart Lee would never do this.
It's true, he wouldn't, but is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's impossible to know what knee-jerk hate machine is trying to say there. I think maybe both. But even if I wanted to do more of these, I'm not allowed, because last week's Moral Maze Jury, the highest ethical authority in the land, given the option between having more AI Ottomas or the whole thing finishing with me wearing a pumpkin containing the sexcrement of all 400 members of tonight's audience, they chose that latter option. Even though it's impossible to buy a pumpkin in the UK at this time of year, and that it's very unlikely that all 400 members of this audience will agree to ejaculate into it, even if we could. They might as well have punished me by making me suck off a moorcock, while simultaneously wanking off the same moorcock. Twice. But, well, I tell you this, my fan friends, I have a substitute pumpkin here. It's provided by fan Paul McKibben. Here, you should be in tonight. You in, Paul? Yeah, well done, Paul. It's a scary pumpkin mask. And if during the show, every single one of you in the audience comes up here and ejaculates into it, I promise I will put that on my head. But if any one person here tonight doesn't do that, then your side of the bargain will have not been fulfilled and the public wanking and subsequent jail term will have been for nothing. So, got anyone coming up first to start us off? No? Oh, Moral Maze Jury, you're so brave in the safety of the darkness and anonymity. Once you're called on to fulfil the punishment that you yourself crafted, you're impotent and afraid. Luckily, we've already got three of the biggest wankers in the country on stage. Please welcome Dan Tetzel, TV's Emma Kennedy, and twanging his banjo string, Christian Riley.
Good evening. Good evening.
There they are. Dan Tetzel, wearing an adamant-style jacket tonight, I noticed.
Yes.
What have you been up to this week?
Well, firstly, it occurred to me that it might be a good idea to wear an adamant-style jacket. And now it's occurred to me that it wasn't. It's too big and it's hot. So I might take it off later. But actually, last night, I was walking home and I didn't have a camera with me, so I can't prove this. But I saw someone had spilt some coffee on the pavement that looked exactly like that sort of a side view of cock and balls. Really good. It was like they'd done it deliberately, but it had just spilled. It was like nature's bounty. Brilliant.
They wouldn't.
That's
everything good. Will tend towards that shape in nature. That is the truth. That's evolution. What's happened to you, Emma?
Well, an extraordinary event occurred to me this week. I actually had a real occasion to go into a motorcycling clothing shop. And I walked in, and the shop assistant was there, and I said, could you show me where the gloves are? And he stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, are you that woman off the podcast that makes fun of motorcycling clothing shops? And I said, well, I mean, we don't really make fun. And he just went, no, stop, he said, what we do is really important. We are saving lives. Get out of the shop. And I was sent packing. I was literally barred from the motorcycling clothing shop.
Harsh.
But also, of course, we have the results are in from the call I put out to everybody to send me a poo anecdote. And I've got the best one here. Do you want to hear
it? We can't read all your entries out.
No, we can't read them all out.
We do put them all in a big burning bin. We can't return them.
So, the best poo story is from the real Tom King. That's his name on Twitter. So, here we go. I work in a medical laboratory testing any bodily fluid, excreta, secretia, etc., that the public may be asked to provide to rule out infection. Now, when your doctor asks you to give a poo sample, he or she will provide you with a little pot with a spoon attached to the lid. A bit like those ice creams you get at the theatre. So you can scoop a small amount to test. We don't need much. Sometimes the patient loses the little pot, so they improvise using something from home. We've been sent medicine bottles, little jam jars like you get with a hotel buffet breakfast, pickled onion jars, etc., all with a poo in, sometimes with a little handwritten note explaining why. Which is nice. But last week, we had one sent by someone who had literally just shat in a little carrier bag.
That's Lidl, right? Not Lidl. Lidl.
They then just dropped it off in lab reception as if it was normal. Not only that, but the poo inside it was huge, like a handless forearm in a taped up little bag. Oh, this is what Tom King just adds at the end. Oh, and there was no details of the patient, so we don't even know who it came from.
Sometimes you're just proud and want people to see it. That's the thing. Just wish you could show it. Emma Kennedy there, and we always come to Christian last because he's always got the top story, the funniest story. What have you had good to you, Christian?
Yeah. Last week I was doing this podcast on Monday.
That's not enough, you know.
That's it. That's all that's happened to me.
Good. I'm glad this is so much part of your life. Let's see what has occurred this week.
Wednesday.
Congratulations were due to Ayman al-Zawahiri on his promotion to head of Al-Qaeda. I was delighted to see he got the top job. He was my personal choice. Some members of Al-Qaeda have been pushing for a younger, more photogenic leader, but luckily they didn't bow to the forces. Political correctness gone mad. And they've gone for someone with big, thick glasses, comedy teeth, who looks like a nutty character from Mind Your Language. It must be a nightmare when they come to meet up.
Death to the infidels.
How will we get those Western pigs out of our homelands?
Yes, Ayman al-Zawahiri. What is your first order as leader?
What? Good evening, evening, Mataji. Thousand apologies that I was late. I was not understanding the direction.
Did you vote for him?
No, I didn't.
So what I was thinking is, why don't we put a bomb in Francois Pascal's bra?
Oh, this is it.
And then when Mr. Brown is distracted, boom, diddy, boom, diddy, boom. Accidentally, it goes up in my face and my turban is all smoldering. Oh, goodness gracious me.
That would be more terrifying. Don't applaud that.
Don't applaud it.
That would be more terrifying to the Western world than 100 9/11s, I'm telling you that.
Wednesday.
I had a gig in a theatre in Welling, and I was delighted to see from a poster in the dressing room there that the 2009 Panto in that town had starred CJ from Eggheads. And seemingly no other celebrities, just CJ from Eggheads. That was the only celebrity they got, and surely CJ from Eggheads is pushing the definition of celebrity as low as it would go. Even if you were picking a celebrity from the subgroup people who appear on Eggheads, CJ would be an enormous disappointment. Although I did once see him in a service station, generally swanning around like he was the biggest star who had ever lived. CJ from Egg. I wonder how that had happened.
Oh, that's it. We've worked our way through every celebrity in the country. No one's available.
Have you tried one of the panellists from Eggheads?
Yeah, none of them are free.
Not even Kevin?
No, busy, I'm afraid. Look, all crossed out.
Oh, no, you haven't tried CJ.
No, I've seemed a bit pointless. Surely a random person picked off the street would be more of a draw. Mm.
In that at least everyone wouldn't think they were a prick and might give them a chance.
Yeah.
Is Andrew Collings available?
Oh, come on. We're not that desperate. Well, CJ, it is.
It was either that or was it this?
You wouldn't believe it. I rang up his agent and unbelievably he's free. We've got CJ from Eggheads.
No way. High five.
I mean, obviously it's cost us our entire celeb cast budget.
Oh, don't worry. With CJ from Eggheads, we're not going to need anyone else. Kids love Eggheads and they love CJ the best.
Yeah, this pantomime will make the theatre millions.
In fact, my guess is that theatre was just about beginning to recover from the financial crisis that had put them in 2009 when they made the mistake of booking me, thanks to the 50 people who showed up in that 300-seater theatre.
Friday.
I did a lovely gig at the Bush Hall in Shepherd's Bush and had a lot of fun bantering with a woman called Buffy in the front row who said it was short for Elizabeth, but I didn't agree with that, as I was taking the piss out of her for being posh. And then the difficulty when you take the piss out of someone, I then asked her what she did, and she said she worked for charity, which could be a difficult thing. I've been taking the mickey, and then she does something really worthy. I asked her which charity it was, which is a danger, again, as a comedian, because it might be something really that everyone will go, ooh, about. She said the charity she worked for was one that did dewormed orphans in Haiti. As if everyone would clear cheer and applaud and go, that was brilliant. But I said, only orphans? Right, so if a little kid with worms comes to see you in Haiti and says, one of my parents is still just alive, you'd say, get out of here, don't come back till both your parents are dead. We only deworm orphans here. How dare you come and take advantage of this? Or if a kid came in and said, I'm an orphan, please help me, but as it happens, I don't have worms at the moment. You get out of here. We only help orphans who've got worms in here. I've got cholera. I don't care about that. Well, I'm interested if you have worms. She's the most evil woman in the world. Or if they said, I'm an orphan and I have worms, but I live in the slums of the Dominican Republic. You'd say, only help orphans with them. He ain't Haiti here. Stop wasting our time. Buffy, if you're listening, you are the worst human being who had ever lived.
As it occurs to me, it's like watching someone you once loved and admired succumb to Alzheimer's.
Accurate. It's accurate, but you don't have my dad shouting, do your times tables at him, do you? That's this week's one-star iTunes review came from someone called Nightmare Date, which is a good way of advertising yourself. And he, I'm guessing it's he. Let's say it's he. He says that it's like it's a bad thing, but I think it's pretty accurate. I'd like to thank all the people who bothered to go to iTunes to express their vehement disapproval of something they didn't have to listen to and which cost them no money. I can understand why that would anger you so much. There were many times in this awful hell that I've been through over the last couple of years where annoying idiots like Nightmare Date, with no sense of perspective or understanding of what an off button does, was all that got me through this. So thank you for helping me out.
Tuesday.
I got an urgent call from the hospital. Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus had been admitted. That was quite a serious story. Had been admitted that morning. Things were looking bleak. I went down to visit her.
If you'd follow. It's just through here.
Look, don't call Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus it. She's a she, okay?
It's an anus. It's definitely an it.
That anus is my friend. Can she hear me?
She's quite heavily medicated. Also, she is an anus. And thus has no ears.
Get out of here! You and your so-called medicine know nothing, nothing! Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus? Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus, are you awake?
Richard. Is that you?
Yes. Yes, it is. How are you?
Oh, you came to see me. No one else has come to see me. Not even Ryan Giggs's dismembered penis.
I did. I don't want to say it, but I did warn you, Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus.
Yes.
Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus. I beg your pardon. The people in this business, the business of show, they're fickle. They're only looking out for themselves. There's no loyalty to anyone.
I know, Rich, but I was blind to your warnings. It was like I was walking around with my brown eye closed. I wanted fame, renown. I wanted to eclipse Pippa Middleton's buttocks. But the prize I had set my heart upon was not worth the winning. And now it has killed me.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus. You'll pull through.
You're sweet, Richard. But I know I won't. Mm.
You know, I think there's a lesson to be learned from all of this. It's awful the way our media objectifies women and tries to make them conform to a kind of ideal that isn't even real. It can only lead to tragedies like this. Women shouldn't be judged on their physical attractiveness. It's what they're like inside that counts. Judge them on their heart, their mind, and yes, judge them on their anus. Not like that, in a nice way. And if they're going to be judged on their physical attractiveness, then the media should realise that Pippa Middleton is just of slightly above average physical attractiveness anyway. Really, she's not all that. I don't know what the fuss is about.
I wish I'd met you before I became disembodied. You're so wise. We are about so much more than the way we look. Oh, say the bit about Pippa Middleton being ugly again.
That wasn't really the
point. You know, Rich, my one regret. I'm going to die without ever having been loved. I mean, I had sex with Keith Allen that time.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
And also Ryan Giggs's dismembered penis.
Yeah, no.
But I've never been kissed.
You are loved, Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus. Without realising, over the last few weeks, I've fallen for you. You're so vulnerable and insecure, yet inside there's something pure and more wonderful. Plus, you're into anal.
I don't really have any choice.
I love you for who you are. May I kiss you?
Oh, Richard. Oh, that tickles. In a good way, don't stop. I am anus. Hear me,
oh. Oh, no, God, no, not. Oh, not now.
Oh, keep licking it.
No, oh, got some sweet corn in there.
Oh, Richard, you mean more to me than fame or money. Maybe your love will be enough to save me. Do you really love me?
I do. I love you more than I can say. I love you.
Oh, my God. Richard Bacon, how are you?
Hi, Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus. News has just got out that you're dying. This is going to be amazing for your career.
Really?
Oh, yeah, the pornography of grief is going to make you millions. You're going to get the front cover of Hello magazine. You've got your own fragrance coming out.
Sorry, I've been ill.
No, yeah. It's a perfume. Parfum de derriere. And every major minor celebrity in the country is going to be falling over themselves to appear to be your concerned, grief-stricken friend.
Will they love me?
They will pretend to love you.
Then come, sweet death. The rest is silence.
No! No! No, Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus. I love you. Why do they always leave me? I love you. No! And Richard Bacon was right. Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus's memorial service was packed with minor celebs.
Hello. It's me, CJ, from Egghead. I know I'm the worst one from the Eggheads and nearly always get beaten by the contestants and have to sit behind the other clever Eggheads. But I don't see why I shouldn't prance around as if I'm the most important celebrity on Earth. And if I'm not that important, how come the people of Welland put me in their panto? And no other celebs. Anyway, I am here... Hi, it's me. Lebbit Opic. Yeah, get...
Get out of the way, CJ. You do the failing to win at Eggheads. I'll do the eulogies. And as prospective Liberal candidate for Lord Mayor, I have been asked to say a few words about my dear, dear friend, Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus. I have dated some of the hottest women in the world. Shut up, I have. But I would have been proud to have had that anus on my arm.
Step aside there, Obik. Hello, yes, it's me, King Herod. Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. That's lovely. And you might think that the man who killed thousands of innocent children would be unmoved by the death of a single arsehole. But children are scum, and they and their anuses are nothing but trouble. But the death of a fully grown anus, however, is a tragedy indeed, especially in a week where I've been cast to play the lead character in a new film, Attitudeless Badger.
Oh, what do you mean? I specifically said that the Attitudeless Badger mustn't be played by a human being. What are you doing with it?
I think you'll like what they've done. They've taken it in a slightly different direction. They got some people to punch up the script. But shall I do a...
Let's see.
There's a very funny bit where he's... Because he's got this sort of... He got the damn with fucking... Oh, I'm a badger. What are you doing?
That is the opposite. That's got an attitude.
Hey, I'm not are you a squirrel?
I'm not sure King Herod is an appropriate choice to play a lead in a children's film.
There's a really good bit where he's like, oh man, I've eaten all these apples and I got drunk.
I told him that would never happen.
It's a great
scene.
That
was the one stipulation he would never get drunk. Oh.
Well, look, can I just do my catchphrase?
Yeah.
Good luck to England against Slovenia.
Subo! I am not mental. I was devastated to hear that Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus had gone. And in the week that it was announced there was going to be a musical based on me leaf, I had celebrated that and then heard the news and it took the wind out of my clack-a-lack-a-tack-tack, I can tell ye. It was all I could do to let people know that seats are already on sale from just £50. Like me, people judged Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus by the way she looked and dismissed her. But like me, she had an amazing talent beneath. Whilst my clack-a-lack-a-duck-duck could whoosh, 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 she could die and make us all feel guilty.
And it's me, Daniel. I was so upset by Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus dying that I have come back alive again and I brought it this limited edition souvenir, Pippa Middleton's limited edition bookcase. Only 50,000 puns in me.
Hey, Tom, let's show our love in the way we know who by singing.
Okay.
Would you know my name if I say in heaven,
will it be the same if I say is in heaven?
I'm a strong and carry on, cause I knew that you'd be in heaven.
Stop hogging the limelight. Let me speak. No. Yes, it's me, Sotto Voce. Oh, goody. Look, it's Andrew Collins. He's back. God. Oh, thank goodness. He was the only good thing about this series. Oh, all right. Stop saying those things, you people down there. Oh. However true, it's just not the time. An anus is dead. Have some respect. This is about her, not me. And my career. I didn't personally know Pippa Middleton's disembodied anus, or as all the cool kids called her, Pumda. Pumda. Yeah. Yeah, actually, perhaps that's inappropriate. Anyway. I was once at a party that she was at, but I spent my time talking to television executives and comedians that I hoped I could work with once Richard Herring had outlived his usefulness. But I regret my duplicitous careerism now, because if I had just talked to her for a second, perhaps I would have got a job being a talking head on a documentary about her life. That would have been nice. But don't weep for me, even though I'm clearly the main victim of this tragedy. Weep for her. I have so much else I'd like to say, but you'll have to pay to hear it. So let the bidding commence.
Well done, Andrew. Well done. Now, you got through a whole speech without once saying a side. Well done.
Yeah, well, I just found out that people could still hear what I was saying. You know, even after I'd said aside, you could have told me.
I did tell you loads of times.
No, but I've finally learned to hide my duplicity. I just think my asides now.
Seems a shame they don't need to have you back for the last show. Everyone's kind of expecting you to do the aside thing, and then you just don't. I mean, it'd be awful if you don't do the aside.
Yes, it is a shame.
Hold on. Did you just think an aside then?
No.
You did it again. I'm sure you did it again.
I am not going to do any asides.
I hate you. How did you learn to do this? I don't know what you're thinking. So I noticed Adam and Joe are finishing their stint on Six Music next week. Expect you and me will be back doing the show together after that, will we?
Oh, maybe. I haven't really heard anything. I certainly hope so. I mean, it would be awful if for some reason we weren't, and in no way just a comeuppance for your years of mocking me and my family.
Just say aside, I don't know what you're really thinking, you tricked me.
The student has become the master. Goodbye, Richard Herring, I am delighted. AI Automata has finished. No aside required.
Boo! Boo!
As it occurs to me, we haven't heard the last of Andrew. Callings aside, we have.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Boo, boo, stop doing that down there, stop that. Be nice to him. Anyway, let's go down to our audience to see. I can't even do it myself when I wrote it. Let's go down to our audience to see what has occurred to them this week. Who's got a story? Any stories? Anyone got? There's a man in the middle there. Could have been the man heckling in the first half. We'll see now. What happened to you this week? It's occurred to you
that my wife is going to go fucking mental when she sees our credit card bill this week.
Your wife is going to go fucking mental when she sees the credit card bill this week. Have you been on redtube.com? You don't have to pay. You get loads for free. There's enough. Honestly, there's enough. I think I know what this is. You tell us what's happened. You've flown from Abu Dhabi. He's flown from Abu Dhabi to see this shit without telling your wife. Have you left like some kind of stuffed version of you in the bed, like in the Great Escape or something, just hoping you'll get back in time?
We should think something to buy for the night.
All right. Does she listen to the podcast?
Well, not now.
No, not live.
Do you know?
Yeah, but does she listen to it later on? Because she'll find out then. You might be home in time, but she'll hear you and go, hold on, I recognise that voice from the distance, and he lives in Abu Dhabi. Well, thank you for coming all this way. It's very nice of you. Give him a round of applause. That's good. That's got to be the best. We've had Canada last week. That is nuts. There's a gentleman over here with a beard, unusually, right in the corner there. What's unusually? Look, that's you. Yeah, no, you. In the...
It occurred to me.
He said.
Months.
You haven't listened to As It Occurs in about 3 months, but it doesn't matter because it's still the same as it was. No, what?
Yeah, you just sort of stopped.
Yeah, I did. I thought. You're working with a professional comedian now. You need to do better than that. Semi professional, says a man there. Oh, no, you just got a semi. Fair enough. I'm pretty good. We'll work that up by the end of the evening. Don't worry. That will be fully. You're looking pretty old, actually, so maybe a semi. A semi is sometimes the best you can do. Just have to shove it in like a marshmallow through a letterbox. Hope for the best. Yes, semi-professional now, my fuck you. Yeah. Because professional comedians don't go, yeah, look. Look, I managed to come back at you with a rubbish joke about a marshmallow in a letterbox. Anyone else? Yes, sir, here. It's Andrew Collins, ladies and gentlemen. This could be interesting.
What genuine postcard I received at the Radio Times.
He's got a postcard he received at the Radio Times, Andrew Collins.
You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Dear Mr. Collins.
Dear Mr. Collings.
Casino Royale postcard.
It's a Casino Royale postcard. Is this how we're going to do all the podcasts from now on? I think this works quite well. Just give me a mic and you send some distance away. Maybe outside the house, shouting stuff. I'm a massive prick. Oh, come on, Andrew. That's not fair. What is this?
At the risk of incriminating myself.
This is the postcard now, yes.
I have to say the Japanese girl. In Kill Bill Volume 1. Wearing the schoolgirl's outfit. Is extremely sexy.
They've really sent this to you. Just thought you might be interested.
I love the way. Tarantino focuses the camera. On her legs.
Her legs.
When she's walking down those steps. I suppose, really. She's a bit of a fantasy figure, yeah. For a lot of us males. Certainly for me.
Love, Andrew Collins' dad. Sorry, carry on.
I won't give his name. What a terrible waste of a hot babe.
When she dies in the film. That's nice. That's considerate.
But I suppose she gave Black Mamba.
No option but to kill her. Yeah, that is. It's good they get into the plot eventually. I suppose she did give him no option, but hurt him.
Right, the final part.
Yep.
We recently took in a stray cat. And I called it Go-Go in honour of that lovely girl.
I've called it Go-Go in honour of that lovely girl. What a strange and twisted... Do you think they anticipated that you would read that out on a podcast to 50,000 people?
No, I won't give their name.
Go on, give their name.
But of course, I have not told the wife why I've named it Go-Go.
Why is she writing the Radio Times? Why don't you print this in the Radio Times? It's been sent to you, and then his wife may read the Radio Times and find out what a monster she's... Someone's just taken a photo of that from behind you. He's got the name.
She thinks it sounds nice.
She thinks it sounds nice. It does. Go Cat. That's what I would say it's named after, the old biscuit-based cat food. Go Cat. Remember that? No. You're too young. Picked on the wrong person. This, how come it works with Peter Kay? That's it. That's all he does. Do you remember Go Cat? Oh, yeah. I do it. No, we don't remember it. No, we don't remember it. Because it's you saying it. We remember it if it's Peter Kay saying it. We're not going to remember it if it's you. We didn't like the way you said it. You were too aggressive. Peter Kay says it in a nice way. So we're going to remember it if he says it. And if you say it, we're not going to remember it. Fuck you. Anyone else? There's a man with glasses, bit of facial hair, maybe, I can't really see.
Today I walked past a motorcycle clothing shop.
Today you walked past the motorcycle clothing shop. Was it the one up by the broadcasting house kind of area?
No.
Well, there are many motorcycles. Can you not say anything rude about motorcycle clothing shops, because you know, some of them listen in. They take it very personally. If we have a go, they're saving people's lives. In fact, I think they're more important than the ambulance. That's right.
I also might have walked past Paul Whitehouse.
You might have walked past Paul Whitehouse, but you're not sure. Yeah, that's... Both those things are equally good. Thank you for joining in. Do you remember when I said before that I think very carefully whether the thing is interesting enough? I mean, you were following Andrew Collins, basically, who set the bar very low. I rescued it with a goat. Remember goat? Do you remember goat cat? Lady with your hand up? No one. People don't remember it when I say it. Do you remember the new schmoo? No, you don't remember it. No. I choose the wrong things. I'm talking to you. You can talk to me back if you like. You got your hand up?
That's okay.
She's scary.
Last year in Edinburgh.
Last year in Edinburgh. This story isn't starting well. This could be... and here is a baby. You know what, Karen? What? No, sorry. It's only occurred to you now. That's cheating, but technically, but carry on.
Otherwise, I'm really stupid.
Yeah.
Pretty
struggling here. We came to see Andrew Collins stand up.
You came to see Andrew Collins stand up. Was it as good as him reading out that postcard?
No,
it wasn't. It wasn't as good as that. Whew. Yes. They wouldn't let you in. You're with teenagers, yeah. It's very inappropriate. Not his maturity, he just tries and touches them. If they come in, he just tries and... He just goes straight for the genitals as well. If he just worked his way down, he just straight in, he sees them. Goes, hold on, you are 13. Yeah, that's all right then.
But we brought cake.
You brought cake.
You and Andrew, and we didn't get to give it to you.
So have you kept the cake for us for a year? You brought cake, that's nice. We'd have loved cake. I would, as I explained in the first half, if you give me food or anything, I will throw it in the bin. That is just, I would never eat it. But if you give me, I'd have gone, oh, that's lovely. That's, oh, thing. I'll wait to, I'm just going to go around the corner and eat that. That's what I'd have done. Andrew would have eaten it.
In Edinburgh this year,
yeah.
Just buy for Andrew, not for you.
Yeah, just buy, Andrew's not going to be there. But if you buy some cake, I will take it back to London for Andrew. It's the kind of partner I am, loyal partner. Okay. No, I'll do that. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah. Oh, we'll go. There's a man shouting who seems mental, so let's go for him. Hello. Oh, yeah, hello, it's you. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm Robin. It's good to be this week.
It's good to you this week, Robin.
I've been put off green peas for life.
You've been put off green peas for life. By TV's Emma Kennedy. You've been put off green peas, not green peas. Yeah, because that would be awful.
That's why I'm glad this is the last AI Ultimate.
You're glad that it's the last AI Ultimate, because you never know what she'll say next. Good.
I actually had a tweet from someone who had listened to last week's podcast and was cleaning up her child's sick. No, actually, sorry, her child's dinner, and there was a pee in it, and it made her throw up. She actually threw up because of poo pee.
Yeah. I just, as a rule of thumb, I just never eat anything that's been in a toilet.
Yeah.
Especially if
I
it's...
I think that's the lesson to take
eat,
away.
If a nice lady makes me a cake, then I won't eat that. I'm probably not ever going to eat anything, even if I haven't pooed it directly into the toilet myself.
No, I think that's sensible.
That's a rule of thumb. At least we've all learned something from... We'll go for one more. We'll take our chance. We might do another. There's a man near the front. What's your name, sir?
Steve.
Steve, good name. What's occurred to you this week?
It's occurred to me that Adam and Joe cover Glastonbury every year.
It's occurred to you that Adam and Joe cover Glastonbury every year.
I'm really looking forward to you and Andrew.
You're really looking, just filling them in while they're in Glastonbury? Yeah, but they cover Glastonbury at that, in that slot, so it won't work. Yeah, nice, nice thinking. I don't really want to do the Six Music Show anymore anyway, so...
Aside.
I was thinking it. I was thinking it. You think it now. You have to think it. You have to think it. Do you want to do one? Seeing you've upset, that was a good cue, actually, the previous one. If I'd been a professional podcast, I'd have gone, let's go into another. Hey, remember the story about the poo pee pee poo? Have you got another one?
Okay. All right, so do you want one more for... Yeah. All right, okay. So this one comes from Xanthi Zgzimkow. It stars my godfather, Chris. That's all the background you need from that. While in his 20s, my godfather Chris and a few friends were travelling around Eastern Europe. They were travelling by train. And on one particular journey, Chris had cause to use the train's facilities. Chris tried to make sense of the instructions on how to flush the toilet. There was a diagram, and Chris managed to understand that before flushing the toilet, it was important to put the seat down. But for Chris, always having been fascinated by poo, this was too intriguing. And he decided he wanted to watch how the train's toilet was going to take away his poo. And so he stood, leaning over the toilet as he flushed it. And as he stood staring into the bowl, a jet of water swooshed up and out, firing not only his own poo, but bits of other people's poo up into his face and upper body. He then had to set about cleaning himself up. Meanwhile, Chris's friends were being asked for their tickets by an irritable guard who didn't like their story that their friend had the tickets and that he was using the toilet. And as time went on, he threatened them with fines and arrest. Eventually, Chris emerged from the toilet, having cleaned himself of poo, and made his way to where his friends were trying to plead with the angry guard. He reached into his pocket and pulled out the tickets, only to find that his poo clean-up hadn't been quite as thorough as he'd hoped. And someone else's poo was inside his pocket and all over the tickets. The end. I hope you like it, yeah. Says Zenthi.
Pretty good. What toilet is this that shoots poo up in the air? Shoots poo into this. It's not very efficient. You meant to put the whole thing down right over the top of that side.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got it. Well, that, very interesting. I think we don't think we'll do any more of those, but that, I hope you enjoyed that. Now it's time for this week's Moral Maze.
It's a moral maze. It's a moral maze. It's a moral maze. It's a moral maze.
When morals get hazy, our scruples get lazy, our conscience goes crazy. We violate the corpse of Patrick Swayze. We get trapped in the maze.
It's a moral maze. It's a moral maze. It's a moral maze.
Moral maze!
This week on the Moral Maze, supermarket spillage.
It's a moral maze. It's a moral maze.
Supermarket spillage!
I was on my way to Coventry on Wednesday to this stadium gig I was playing, and I stopped off at services. I was doing my go-kart material, I stopped up at services to buy dinner for me and my non-imaginary girlfriend. I took the basket up to the checkout where the girl rang in the purchase, and she was really pleasant. She was lovely.
Would you like a fork for your fruit salad?
Oh, that's nice. Yes, please.
Thanks. Okay, that comes to £22.52, please.
I gave her two £20 notes. She was about to give me change when...
Oh, no, this package is damaged. I've got sauce from these duck rolls all over me.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's not your fault. Jane, could you get this customer another pack of duck rolls?
It turned out there was only one other pack of duck rolls on the shelves, but that was damaged as well. I said I would take it anyway.
No, look, I can't charge you for that. Let me take the price for that off your bill.
That was a nice thing to do. She was a nice person. But now the total was just under £20. The girl who'd been so lovely to me all the time was confused about how much change to give me. I said, you can just give me back one of the 20s for a start, which she did. But then she also handed over more change, including a tenner. She's kind of giving me the change from the original purchase, not realising the mistake she's made.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's right, isn't it?
I was being given a free £10, and that money could only come out of the pocket of Ian Waitrose, who charges a lot of money for his food anyway. He's making a lot of money. Perfect crime, but then again, the girl had been so nice to me. Ethically, could I take the money from it? It might come out of her wages. You know, the floor quaver scoffing me of 6 weeks ago wouldn't have thought twice about this, but like a beaten dog, I have learned my lesson. I decided I couldn't take that money. It wasn't mine. I gave the excess back to the girl.
Oh, thank you for being so honest.
So, had I acted morally, amorally, or immorally? There, it's up to you decide. I gave the money back.
I'm suspicious, I have to say, Richard. Right. There's certain details in this story which are ringing alarm bells. This is a young woman.
Yep.
You mentioned that you liked her.
She was nice, she was just friendly.
Yeah. Like you're flashing around 20s like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think you feel you bought this girl, haven't you? And it may appear to be the right thing to do, but I think there's an ulterior motive there.
But that
thus becomes immoral. I thought you were, you know, you're away from home.
I think you're clutching at straws trying to make it immoral.
There's inconsistency. Why? Because you were previously in Waitrose, weren't you? With a broken yoghurt.
Yeah. Back in series one, I think it was.
And the man behind.
The man behind saw us. I put it on the side and didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah. So what's changed now?
Well, so maybe it balances up. I mean, you could argue, I suppose, that I'd acted morally only to ensure that I wasn't punished for acting immorally. That was my motivation for giving the money back was actually selfish. And if you do right things for the wrong reasons, is that moral or immoral? Or is it amoral? That's a question that you will all have to consider. Now, you're going to be the deciders of this. If you judge me as immoral today, audience, then the punishment will be I have to kiss TV's Emma Kennedy with tongues for 20 seconds, full tongues, 20 seconds, finger her in her clack-a-lack-a-dack-dack. Whilst she fondles, hand in my pants, fondles my bifurcated penis.
Why have I got to be punished as well?
We're adding jeopardy, and you want to do that, so don't pretend you wouldn't enjoy that. I won't enjoy it. You would like it. So you have to decide, was I moral, immoral, or amoral? Or don't you know what amoral is? So first, if you think I acted morally, cheer now. Quite loud. If you think I acted amorally, cheer now. Less people. If you still don't know the difference between moral and amoral, cheer now. Yay! And if you think I acted immorally and I have to do the kiss, cheer now. Yay! Yeah, that is. Yeah, as I suspected, the audience voted me immoral there. But there'll be no kissing. Oh no. Because you fell into my trap, my friend. The real moral maze wasn't the supermarket spillage, the real moral maze was testing the morality of the moral maze.
It's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, it's a moral maze. Testing the morality of the moral maze.
Yes. I was interested to see if the moral maze was fit to judge the morality of others, or whether it become mad with its own power. Thus, I chose a story from this week in which I clearly, unequivocally, acted in a moral fashion. I did the right thing, but deliberately chose a tantalising punishment to see if the moral maze jury would choose gratification over justice. And the moral maze jury revealed that they are more crooked than FIFA, presided over by Ryan Giggs' dismembered penis. It is they who is immoral.
It's a moral maze, it's a moral maze, it's a moral, it's a moral maze, it's a moral maze. The moral maze was immoral.
And yes, it is you who will be getting the punishment today, my friends. There's only one punishment I think is fit for the audience here today. They must sit through the entire motorcycle clothing shop sketch. Exactly. Don't blame me.
Throw it on yourselves.
Blame yourself. Exactly as it was performed in the second series, word for word, not cutting it short, we're going to do the whole thing. Yeah. The one exception is that the staff of the shop will be played as Canadians this time. It's a double punishment. I want to make it clear, I haven't put this in because we're running short of material. If anything, we've got way too much stuff this week.
About 10 o'clock.
This is here as a punishment only. If you're listening at home and have never sat on the moral maze, you don't have to listen to this. Just fast forward through. This is just to punish the people here for their wickedness.
Good afternoon, eh?
Hi. Nice motorcycling clothing shop you've got here.
Thanks.
Looking for anything in particular, eh?
No. No, just have a look around at the motorcycling clothes, see what you've got in stock. If I see something I like, something suitable for riding on my motorcycling, then maybe I'll buy me some motorcycling clothes. Yeah, sure love motorcycling around. Some people like cycling on a normal bike, not me. I say, why pedal around when you can have a bike that doesn't need to be pedalled with all the engine and stuff?
Right, yeah, well, feel free to have a good look around.
Let us know if there's anything we can help you with.
Yep. Yeah, I sure will. I will do that. I love motorcycling, and you can't do it naked, can you? Worse luck, eh? Sometimes when I'm out there on the open road, I wish I could be bare-ass naked, but that's not allowed, so I'm going to need me some clothes for to do it in.
Well, you should find something here. We got an extensive range of clothing.
Yeah, you sure do. Oh, look at this motorcycling top. Pretty nice one. But I like all this stuff. Wish I could buy it all. I could probably do with hundreds and hundreds of motorcycling costumes because I motorcycle around a lot. I bet you both like motorcycling too, am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I envy you that. You're very lucky. Wish I could work somewhere like this too. Be perfect, what with my love of motorcycling around. On my motorcycle. Sometimes I just go for a motorcycle when I haven't even got anywhere to go. Because I love motorcycling so much. Ram, ram. That's me turning the handlebars, making it go. Ram, ram.
So, what bike have you got, eh?
Good question. It's a good question to ask. Of course, I know the answer straight away. It'd be strange if I didn't. I've got me Kawasaki. That's a Kawasaki motorcycle. That's my baby. Hoping Kawasaki is a motorcycle and not a 1970s wrestler.
Kawasaki certainly do have some excellent beaks.
Yep, it was a bike.
Which Kawasaki are you reading these days?
The Kawasaki 792. Yeah. That's my bike, the old 792. That's what I'm riding at the moment. 792, she's my girl. Ram, ram. That's how I ride her, turning the handlebars like that. Sometimes doing a wheelie if the pigs aren't around. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes naked at night time when no one can see. The 792, that's a machine for motorcycling on.
You don't have a motorbike at all, do you?
No, I don't.
So, what are you doing in here?
I was just passing. I saw you in here, thought you looked cool. I was a bit lonely and drunk and thought maybe I could bluff my way through and become your friends.
Ooh, this is quite embarrassing.
If it worked out, and we'd somehow been fooled despite your total lack of knowledge about beaks, and it invited you out beaking. What would you have done then, eh?
I'd have come along and said my motorcycle wasn't working, so could I sit on one with you?
Oh.
What's wrong with you, eh?
Can I hang out with you anyway?
No, it'd be weird and inappropriate.
Just leave.
What gave me away, would you say?
Just go.
Can I buy some motorcycling clothes anyway?
No, they're only for people who actually have a motorbike.
I could get one.
Are you going to?
No.
Stop wasting your time and go.
I'm sorry. I'm so alone.
There you go.
It's hard to believe. I think it might have actually gone down worse today than it did the first time. It's kind of...
You people.
I hope you feel punished for what you've done. Stuart Lee repeats something a few times in one of his shows, doesn't he? He should come back when he's just repeating the exact same thing over and over again. That is true comedy there. That he doesn't even know the beginning of what being funny is. Anyway, now, over to Christian Riley for this week's song.
Okay, so it's going to be very emotional for me, so just going to get on with it. Goodbye, sweet podcast. You were never built to last more than one series. How did it get to three? With only just the one joke discovered accidentally and repeated endlessly until it got funny. And it seems to me you lived your life like a pumpkin in the wind. A smiling face and a quiet taste when you're on my head. And I would have liked to have shown you to my family and friends, but they'd never understand why you're full of jizz. As the years went by, you became more infantile, ill-informed and insulting, you cock-juggling thunder cunt. You nearly went too far, nearly tore Collings and Heron apart, and that would have been really bad. Aside, it wouldn't help. And it seems to me you lived your life like a pumpkin in the wind. And now we've got to walk away before you start to stink. And no amount of specialist category awards can change the fun we've had. It's minted pumpkins now, granddad, but you still taste jizz. Goodbye, my old friend. We always knew it had to end, but maybe not like that. Covered in flour in a bath. Goodbye, AI Ottima. The wind whispers your name. I'll never listen to another. Oh my God, Richard Bacon's podcast. How are you? It seems to me you lived your life like a cupcake in the wind. We've left Turk in there, now there's an aftertaste. And now the magic's over and I can't turn back time. This jack-o'-lantern always shines because its flame is jizz. This jack-o'-lantern will always shine because its flame is jizz. Play it, Rich!
Five trumpet. Christian Riley there. To me, I don't know how he comes across to you. To me, he comes across like a fan who's won a competition. That's what I... Anyway, my friends, our work here is nearly done. Thanks very much for the support you've given this project over the last couple of years, either by downloading at home or coming along to one of the shows. I'm genuinely touched by your affection for this ridiculous project. The people are coming from all over the world to see it. Personally, I've loved it and hated it in equal measure, and I think we should finish it now before the hate unbalances the scale and I go properly mad. Go Faster Strike will be bringing out a special CD with MP3s of every episode of the show and all of the secret stand-ups that haven't been online or available before. It's the perfect gift for an enemy who's not aware of this show. Should be available in the next month from www.gofasterstripe.com. Lots of other stuff there to keep you going. If you're interested, I'm performing in two Edinburgh Fringe shows this year. What Is Love Anyway? At the Cow Barn, which is a bit more thoughtful and less spunk-filled stand-up than this podcast might lead you to expect. But I'm also doing Richard Herring's Edinburgh Fringe podcast, which should provide you with all your spunk-filled needs. So pay to see it live, or you can download that for free. I haven't learnt a thing from this experience. But there'll be prizes and stuff to come along. Ben, our producer, is working on Pappy's Flatshare Slam Down, which is at the Old Red Lion this week with my favourite podcasters, Helen and Ollie from Answer Me This. I love Ollie, man. He's amazing. And you can download that from the British... I do love him, really. His British Comedy Guide. Have you got anything to plug before we go, Dan?
I'm up in Edinburgh towards the end. I'm judging Karaoke Circus with Daniel Ward and Martin White. If you're up there, that'll be fun. I'm basically waiting for my invitation to be on Pappy's Flatshare Slam Down, as I'm sure Emma and Christian are. But
no, I'm not.
Emma, got anything to plug?
Yes, I'll be doing I Left My Tent in San Francisco at Glastonbury on Saturday. I'll be at Latitude and I'll also be at Port Elliot. if you're coming to those. And the fourth Wilma Tenderfoot book, Wilma Tenderfoot and the Case of the Rascal's Revenge, will be out in July.
That's for any kids who listen to the show.
That is for kids.
Any small children who listen to the show.
And This Is Jintzy will be on Sky Atlantic in September.
Yeah, one person's happy about that.
Quickly.
Christian, anything for you?
Yeah, I will be back here at the Leicester Square Theatre next Monday.
You know, there'll be a different show on next week.
I will be singing a song about some aspect of AI Automata in whatever show is on.
I look forward to that.
I also wanted to just quickly thank the people of Dubai for welcoming us with open arms here. You're welcome now.
I'd like to thank the three people here and Ben, our producer, for making this show what it is. It's their fault. Also, if you're not at any point feeling you should step in and stop it for the sake of my mental health. It must have been very hard for you to see me, your friend, go through so much mental strife and turmoil and not do anything. But I know you're thinking of the artistic good of the show, so thank you for that. So anyway, that's pretty much it.
Excuse me, which way is the toilet?
Hold on, I know you from somewhere. You're Mark Armand, aren't you, from off of Soft Cell?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Well, so great to see you. Can I shake your hand?
Don't touch me, please. I cannot stand the way you tease.
I wasn't really teasing. Can I just ask you, actually? I've always wanted to meet you, because I don't know if you've heard about this, but there's an urban myth about you. I don't know if you know about it. People say that you had to have your stomach pumped at a hospital, and then they found it was full of the sperm of 9 different people. Well, men, probably. And also a dog. Is that true, that urban myth?
Of course it isn't. No. Look, even if I had my stomach pumped, why would the doctors have said, oh, look here, there seems to be more than one man's sperm in here? Some of these gametes, they look canine. Send it down to labs for analysis. Let's find out how many different people and animals are involved in this, eh?
Well, no smoke without fire, Mark. That's what I say. Why would someone make up a thing like that?
Well, I've heard an urban myth about you. That you like to invite women back to your room. And you make them dance under a mirror ball while you sit in a high-backed armchair with a semicircular toilet mat around it masturbating.
Well, that's obviously not true. You should believe everything you hear, Mark. It's just fantastical, honestly. Really? You're pretty gullible.
Spunk on your shoes, I see. Anyway, which way is the loo? I'm not feeling too well. I've got a bit of a dicky tummy.
Really? It's...
Abu, yeah. No,
it's back that way. I don't know what you're thinking, but if the gents is full of nerds, you can go to the facilities at Burger King. You can use those.
No, there isn't time. I'm going to be sick. I need a receptacle of some kind.
Oh, how about this pumpkin?
Oh, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
That's very odd looking vomit you've got there, Mark. Odd colour. Have you been eating tapioca or something?
Oh, I don't know what they're serving at Ballon's these days.
Oh, yes, no, I have been eating tapioca, a huge amount of it. 400 portions.
Wow. No wonder you're ill.
Excuse me, I'm a doctor. I work in the lab of the local hospital. It's my job to analyse the contents of the stomachs of celebrities that seem unusually full of semen. I have just come from work and have my semen analysing kit with me.
Oh, no.
And beep, boop, beep, boop, boop, Ziggy says that this pumpkin is now full of the ejaculations of everyone in this audience and also a naughty dog. Plus, I saw him sucking them all off.
Oh, Mark! I'm very disappointed in you.
What am I like? Anyway, the audience loved it. Didn't you, the whores?
This does mean, Richard, that the pumpkin is now full of the sexual effluent of all the audience, and your previous objections are now nullified. You must put it on your head.
I do, does seem I'm backed into a corner here, but, you know, if I could travel back in time, thanks to the magic of AI Automa, I can.
If I could travel back in time, what would I do differently?
Oh, if I could travel back in time.
Yeah, all I have to do is travel back in time to last week and warn the me of 7 days ago not to do the moral maze. I'll just climb into my time machine. Off we go. It's me turning it on there. We're starting going back through time. There's the clocks coming back. There's all the Mark Armin sits spitting the spunk into men's cocks there. There's all the Brian Hawes is alive. Look at that. There he is. Well done, you're protesting. I'm coming back. I seem to be... And all the clocks are going past. I'm arriving here. Here I am. I'm back at the end of last week's show. Look, there I am from last week, just wrapping up. That's your lot for tonight. See you next time on the show that all the...
Hold on, Rich. You haven't done a new moral maze this week.
No, that's right. Didn't want the show getting stale. You know, just being the same thing every week.
That would never do.
Hold on! Stop the show! Who is this? Who are you, stranger? Don't you recognise me, Rich, from 7 days ago? It's me, Rich, from 7 days in the future.
Wow, you've aged badly.
And you've put on quite a bit of weight.
I've been working really hard. I've got loads of scripts to do, and I've eaten a lot of Haribos to keep me going. The thing is, Rich, of the past, Emma and Dan are about to force you to do a moral maze, but you mustn't do it. Do you understand me? Look, you're not fooling me for a second. I know what's going on here. You're the bloke who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor. You're... travelling in time, my elbow. You're trying to punk me? Well, I'm not fooled. You don't look anything like me. You're hideously ugly, for a start. I'm not. I am you. You must listen before I get sucked off back through time. Go on. Get on your motorbike and get lost. That's what you're doing, isn't it? No, please. Wait. You're an embarrassment, bloke who motorcycle around the world with Ewan McGregor. I know we don't usually do this, Ben, but could you edit out the whole interruption out of this podcast?
Yes, sure, no problem.
No! Why wouldn't I listen to me? Look, there's the sperms going back into the Matt Bryan horse is dead again. And there, it's all Jay Hatton's become. No, that's an unusual choice for leader of Al-Qaeda. Oh, I'm back!
If I could travel back in time, what would I do differently? I would try to warn myself against doing the moral maze, but fail because I mistook myself for the bloke who motorcycled around the world with you and McGregor. If I could travel back in time.
Shit, I totally failed to convince myself. I haven't changed a thing. Thinking about it, now I remember that happening last week. I didn't listen to myself because I thought I was the bloke who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor, and I got Ben to edit that bit out of the show. I wish I'd remember that because I wouldn't have wasted all our time by going back in time just to do that. But then I guess if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have... Oh, look, I don't care. I'm still not going to put the pumpkin on, and you cannot force me.
We could.
Hold him down, Dan.
No, I'm pretty sure that forcing a pumpkin mask full of sicked up semen onto someone's head against their will is illegal. That is not going to happen. I can tell you that right. What's that? Is that strange? What's going on? Who are you, old man, and where did you come from?
It's me, Rich. You. I am the old you from the future, from the year 2050.
What?
I have travelled back in time to warn you.
You must think I was born yesterday. You're clearly just the bloke who motorcycled around the world with Ewan McGregor in a grey wig.
Oh, Jesus Christ, why won't I ever believe that I'm a twat?
All right, if you're really me, what number am I thinking about now?
Is it 69, dude?
Hey! Wow. Wow, it is me then. What's the future like, future me?
Oh, it's awful, Richard. Humanity has been enslaved by an underground race called the Moorcocks.
Oh, no. My vision came true. Do they really have two more cocks than a normal Moorlock?
Oh, it's worse than that, Richard. They have three more cocks.
Three more? No. A total of four cocks.
Yes.
It's worse than I could ever have imagined.
They also have one extra testicle. Oh, no. You know, to keep it going. But this is not about the Moorcocks, Richard. I have travelled back in time to stop you making a terrible mistake that I made, and you are about to make.
Don't worry, I'm not in 1,000 years going to put this pumpkin on, so you don't need to worry.
That's the mistake, Richard. I, too, didn't put on the pumpkin at this point. The show ended. The audience were disappointed. It didn't feel like the end of the series without the ejaculant of the audience running down my face, going in my ears and my eyes and my mouth. I was able to kid myself that doing AI Ottoma... So Hobbit wasn't so bad, and I came back and I did another series, and another series, and another series, and another series. I'm still doing AI Ottoma. Stop doing that now. It's on the 78th series. And every episode is just me doing the motorcycle clothing shop sketch over and over again on a loop. And your fans, they're so stupid. They still love it. Also, they're quite old now, so don't remember that they've heard it already. It's like watching people you hated and disrespected succumb to Alzheimer's. But your life is a hell, Rich. A living hell. If you just put on the Kumpkin, then the humiliation would be enough to ensure that you never dream of doing AI Ottoma. Shut up, you idiots! Again. Time is running out. I am going back to my own time. There I go. Oh, dear. Oh, Brian Hawes is alive again. Oh, I should have warned you about that one, actually.
So that's the choice, folks. If I put on this mask, then I'll get the spunk of 400 people and a naughty dog in my facial cavities. But if I don't, then AI Ottoma... You know, that is just really starting to get slightly annoying. We'll continue forever. What is it to be? Kumpkin or no Kumpkin? That could be a new Channel 4 show, actually. I could get back on the telly with that. I just want to be on the telly. That's all I want. Short-term gratification or the survival of the franchise. Which will it be? Dan, fetch my semicircular toilet mat.
There it is.
It's a biggie today. It is.
Careful where you don't get near that, Emma. It's so imbued with the powers of my loins, it could make even your dried-up old ovaries become impregnated. There's a... Now, there's a danger this might kill me. There's a very real possibility this might stick to my head forever. So if I die, I just want to say thanks. Thanks very much, Dan, for all the hard work you've put into this show.
Oh, God, you really don't have to thank me. All the money I've got from this is, you know, over the 28 episodes, really nearly bought me an anal butt plug.
And Emma, I suppose now I'm going to do this, it's over. I can tell you, I always did fancy, I kind of hoped we'd get together and have sex and stuff. I always fancied you.
I know.
Oh, good. And Christian, I'll miss you most of all.
See you next week.
It is a far, far better thing that I do now than I've ever done. It's a far, far better rest that I go to than I've ever known. I'm going to the undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveller returns. Thanks so much for listening. Through this humiliation will I be reborn and freed from this nightmare. Consider this a divorce.
As It Occurs to Me was written by and starred Richard Herring and performed by Dan Tessler, me, Tephus Emma-Kennedy. Christian Riley did all the musical bits and was produced by Ben Walker. With thanks to Damien Caldwell, Matt Ricardo and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. A special thanks to Orange Mark of the British Comedy Guide, and super special thanks to all those of you who have downloaded this show or come to one of the recordings. This is an Avalon Sky Potato Buzz production. The rest is silence.
The sperm. The sperm is impregnating my brain. There's loads of tiny spider babies coming out my head. Oh no, this is the beginning. This is the rise of the Moorcocks. No! Stop, stop, isn't it?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.